Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting a television show or season that we think you'll find interesting. In this episode, I'm joined by my sister, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on the third season of Foundation. This is an Apple Plus TV show, and there's a lot going on in this series.
Amazing amount.
I am glad we kind of skimmed through the final episode of season two before starting season three, because, I mean, there was a time jump between the two seasons of 153 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they touched a little on what had gone before. But when we went through and it's like, oh, yeah, that happened. Oh, yeah, that happened. Oh, yeah, I'd forgotten about that plot line entirely. Oh, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Because it had been, I forget when the second season finished airing, but it was a long enough gap that I only remembered a few of the high points and not all the minutiae. And there was a fair amount of this season that harkened back to previous things in a way that if you don't remember the details, it wasn't catastrophic, but remembering some of those helped.
Yeah.
And there were one or two. It's like, oh, this person guest stars. Weren't they in the first season, or was it this other guy? And then it turns out, well, it was this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, we're now centuries later, so it's an ancestor of that person. And when you're doing a show that is literally spanning centuries, there are various ways actors can stay employed during that.
Yes.
Cloning was one way that they took care of a couple of people. There was a robot. There was hibernation and
cryosleep.
And then genetic similarity.
Yeah.
Is another one. I read the first book and a third or something back when I was in high school. I enjoyed it, but as great as Asimov is, he is not a page turner. And it just got to where in the second book, it was like swimming in molasses or something. You're making progress, but it's slow and it ain't easy.
I've never read Asimov.
I think it's worth doing. He's a brilliant writer. Had a lot of very interesting ideas. But at least where I was as a reader 40 years ago,
mm-hmm.
when I was doing that, hopefully is different than where I'm at now and I might fare better. It's not bad reading, but it isn't light reading either.
Well, there's also an element of having seen the show, I think we would bring some of these visuals with us. And I think that might be a good thing. Because sometimes when I'm reading a book, it's hard to visualize what they're trying to give me. And this show has been incredibly rich and vibrant in the visuals.
Yes, brilliant visuals. Their special effect team does a terrific job all the way around. In one or two scenes, a little too good of a job.
Yeah.
There are one or two, it's like, oh, that's gross. I'm also curious how close this is adhering to the books.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's roughly one book, one season. Whether that's accurate or not, don't know. Whether they've removed stuff, taken stuff out, or changed things. I mean, I'm certain they've changed things.
Cause yeah.
I don't recall the Brother Dawn, Dusk, and Day from the book.
Which is a fascinating concept.
Yeah. And I'm curious how that whole genetic dynasty plays out in the next season.
Well, there are two things about Day, Dusk, and Dawn that fascinate me. Because first, you have the genetic dynasty and the cloning aspect. But second, you have a very Roman triumvirate aspect to it.
Well, in a crazy clear succession plan.
Yeah.
And what I really enjoyed this season was, there was a point where Brother Day is talking to a simulation of a former version of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one that I think we had seen that actor play first season.
Sure felt like it and looked like it.
He absolutely looked like it. And to see the difference in posture, attitude, and so forth. And they had introduced second season the concept of both, I don't say genetic drift, but kind of the photocopy of a photocopy of a photocopy, mm-hmm. but also that there had been tampering
mm-hmm.
and that there was intentional corruption
yeah.
in the genetics.
And there is also the nature-nurture aspect.
Yes, which they played up from the beginning of, you must act like one.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the nature, now we're going to handle the nurture.
Mm-hmm.
So, seeing where they go with that, I think one opportunity they've got is, over the centuries, we have had more than one dawn, day, or dusk runoff.
Yeah.
So, I'm curious to see if that ever comes to fruition.
I would like it to.
It felt like it could have and should have this season.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that was different with this season than past is I think both the first two ended on a, and time's gonna elapse.
Yes.
And not just a few minutes, a few days, a few months, but like centuries or decades at least. This, the next one could come on right on the heels of this. And I would be surprised if it does not.
Well, at one point a few episodes ago, we implied that Gale was going to get caught in the event horizon of a black hole?
Yes.
Which messes with the passage of time.
And I think that is still likely to happen because there's a black hole-powered weapon in mm-hmm. play in this time frame, and the person who's got it has already used it and seems like we'll use it again.
He went crazy.
Yes, he did. But it was a fun kind of crazy.
Mm.
And again, they gave the actors just some great material.
And technically, we don't know we took care of the bad guy for the season.
I would argue, well,
we parted ways from the bad guy. We got away from the bad guy.
I feel there were a few bad guys.
Agreed.
One of which definitely we did not get rid of, and is why I'm thinking they've got to follow up on the heels of this season. The second one that was the more obvious bad guy, they left unclear the ending state of.
Mm-hmm. That's how I felt.
Because we cut to another scene, cut back, and it's like, wait, I feel like we missed something.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt there was also a callback, a very blatant callback, to something that had happened many, many episodes prior. So it's like, yeah, they set that up, but that's certainly not where I expected this to come back into play, or how to come back into play.
Yeah.
But there are so many threads in play. They introduced a few new ones this season, a new religion, an aspect of that religion coming into power, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And the global politics certainly shifted.
Yes.
The relationship between two of the key players definitely altered and potentially could now be at odds, depending where they want to go with this.
I felt that almost every leader dealt with betrayal in some manner. Whether they were betrayed, they did the betraying. Betrayal really seemed to be up there on the themes.
Which isn't too surprising, because I think they had set that kind of tone and nature up early on in the series.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there was a lot of it going on.
It seemed more front and center this time.
Yes, yes. And there were a few characters taken out of play that they might be able to backpedal on, they might not. I'm curious if all of the recurring cast recurs next season, or all the regular cast is regular or even recurring next time.
Yeah.
Certain ones I totally expect we've got to see at least a handful of them, because I'm not expecting a time jump at all. Days, if anything. But most of the season took place in the course of days.
That's what I was thinking. Well,
with the flashback or two that goes back a few years.
I was actually going to say, with the caveat of the first episode, which covered the 150 years.
Well, I think so did like the third or fourth. There was one where it's a, here's what happened. Yeah, they definitely, here's how these people got from point A to point B, or time A to time B.
Mm.
And then there was another one where it's, okay, we got to give this character's backstory. In light of what we've seen later, I think that was unreliable narrator. And it was presented as having happened, not having been told what happened.
Mm.
So I felt that was a little unreliable if we take things at the end at face value. And I was taking it as it could be face value, or it could be that is honestly what they thought happened.
Yes.
But they've had time to be influenced. So I don't know if the bad guy that was really front and center this season, if that threat is dealt with, if it has changed into another threat, or it doesn't feel resolved.
That's where I'm at. And I think there are several characters in that plotline, like Torin.
Yes.
and Pritch that I want some closure on.
Yeah, there are a couple of characters that were new this season that were left in an ambiguous state that if they don't come back and deal with at least in the first few episodes next season, I will feel frustrated and a little cheated on.
Now, not having read Asimov, not even remembering when Asimov wrote, Torin and Beta, if they were in the books, have to have been different than they were here. Because here they were influencers.
They were clearly influencers. And Asimov, I want to say, wrote this in, I want to say the 60s, but I'd have to look it up, but that era. And I think influencers existed in a way back then, but it was more kind of the personal influencer, the celebrity of the era kind of a deal. Whereas this was in the context of very much a equivalent of a YouTuber.
Yeah, or a TikTok star.
A TikTok star, somebody in social media. So I definitely think they at least updated the style, if not invented these characters whole cloth.
Mm-hmm. And I liked them.
Yes.
They played it well in every respect. Well cast. The personality of these characters was fun.
And I don't feel that their arc is finished.
I agree.
Whether they're done with it or not, it's another matter, but I don't feel it was finished. So I'm curious with the books, how many threads were left unresolved to get picked up in another one beyond just the, we've got this saga of the Foundation. Because there's certain things that are big picture, epic, galactic in scope, literally in this case.
Yeah.
But then there are other things where, wait, we haven't resolved this person's arc for where they started this book. Do you really leave that dangling and pick it up in the next novel?
Yeah.
And maybe he did, maybe he didn't. That feels a little out of style for that era.
Yes.
And I don't know how long of a gap there was between the release of the novels. My understanding is there's 7 novels in the Foundation saga, but I believe it was originally, and I could be wildly mistaken on this, written as a book that became a trilogy that had another trilogy, or another book that became a trilogy, and then a final book or something. But I could be wildly mistaken on that. It's been ages since I've really kind of dug around the backstory of the genesis of Foundation. The other related set of books by Asimov are the iRobot ones.
And they touched on that here.
They touched on that here. But this is taking place way the hell down the line from that, potentially. Although there was a thing at the end of this season that makes it seem like it could even potentially be a precursor to some of the iRobot stuff, because that always felt like it was in the nearer term future.
Interesting.
So, I mean, there's the potential this is taking place in a galaxy far, far away a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
But it's really well acted. I think we're seeing the range of a couple of these actors really well.
Brother Day tops that list.
Lee Pace, who,
Yeah.
I had seen him when I watched the first season. I think it was Halt and Catch Fire on the history of, not the history, but based on historical aspects of PCs being developed. But here, the very formal, stoic leader we got at the beginning to the almost hippie-like we got this season.
Yeah.
Particularly when they were juxtaposed together, it was just a ton of fun.
The actress who played Beta really did great. And again, just crossed ranges in terms of the character we first saw to the character we saw at the end.
Who we thought she was as introduced and who she became.
Yeah.
There was a lot there. It was great material and she did terrific with it.
Yeah.
And you need both.
Yes.
Because you can give somebody great material and they just don't know how to handle it. Or you can give them not great material and they can either elevate what it is or do well despite it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen a few where everybody involved knew that's the actor to keep even if you ditch the role.
Yeah.
Or rewrite the role or something like that. And I think if we don't see the next season picking up on these threads, I'll be disappointed. I may not be disappointed. I may have forgotten about all of this by then.
Which is sad, but true. I know the feeling.
But at this point, I would be disappointed if I were to watch the next season, you know, right now.
Yeah.
So I'm curious where they go. I felt at the tail end, they introduced a new group. We'd seen one of the people before, but they had seemed to be just a person versus now they've got at least, you know, somebody else or two in their group. And the implication was that's now a power faction that is becoming relevant.
Mm.
So I'm curious where they go with that. And if we go a little ways into the next season and jump forward, because it felt like first season we were doing a bit of bouncing forward.
Mm-hmm.
Second season, we definitely had some jumps. And then again, 153 years or whatever between seasons.
And yet we didn't forget about Salver Hardin, which was a wonderful character.
Yes. And they dropped a thread there of there's, I don't want to say her story that can continue, but an aspect of her story that certainly can blossom into another character to move forward with.
Yeah.
And I fully expect that to happen, if not fourth season, then fifth or sixth.
Yeah.
And I think their plan is to go for the seven, trying to, again, mirror what the books have done.
Nice.
I could be mistaken on that. I think I heard that early on. But, you know, when you've got the first season of any show, they always say, oh, we've got a plan for X. And I think they've got the traction in the track record now that there's a good chance they'll be able to do that.
Well, and they've got the production values.
Honestly, I think everything we've watched on Apple Plus has had that.
Yeah.
We haven't watched a ton, but I've been very impressed with the quality and what I perceive as the resources they've thrown at the various shows.
Yeah.
Because some of these are not, just conceptually, they're not cheap shows to do. Here's one that's operating on a galactic scale. We've on five or six different planets over the course of the season. We've got, obviously, the ships to get people between them. We've got other effects-hungry things. So it's not something where it's like, okay, we'll just go on location, down the block, around the corner, other side of town, whatever, and we can... It's not like Stargate, which was a terrific show, but they're in, I forget if it was Vancouver or whatever, but okay, we'll drive out to the wilderness and hit the forest for this, we'll go downtown for this, we'll go to the outskirts and the suburbs for that, and oh, they've got this really crazy-looking stuff at this university, we'll use that for a future sci-fi planet or something.
Yeah.
These are things that are, in some cases, epic in scope, like first season when they had the Star Bridge or whatever.
Yes, yes.
The tower that literally went out past orbit or something.
Well, the living paint.
Yes, yes. And that had some interesting, and that was actually used story-wise.
Yeah.
And those are the sort of things that Asimov would just drop in his book, maybe spend a paragraph or a page or two to just, let me tell you a little about this. Which I thought was a ton of fun and what I really enjoyed. But I also recall it kind of being part of where it felt like it took a while. Many, 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 many pages, I don't want to say for things to happen, but to really, I didn't feel I had the sense of momentum I needed, even though I was enjoying kind of the smelling of the roses, if you will.
Well, here in this season, the character Song, there was something going on there, she was interesting, but I wasn't really getting why we were spending so much time with her, until suddenly it was, oh... So my feeling that she was a spy or something wasn't just the actress trying to be interesting. There was something there.
Yeah. Well, and again, if my 40-plus-year-old recollection of the Foundation stuff and Asimov's writing is correct, we would have hit a point in the book where we would have gotten a reference to the religion or to this or to that or whatever. And just as an aside, you know, here's some stuff on it. And it's... exposition, it's world building, I found it interesting, but it also kind of paused the story a little.
Well, we paused the episode at one point for the leader of the religion to bend down and say a few things that the three people he's bending down below shouldn't have heard.
There were, one or two times where it's like, really? Are people deaf in this world?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's stuff the audience... kind of needed. It's stuff Brother Day needed, but it was just like, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was another case of, and for me, that was the leader betraying his own people.
Yes, absolutely. There was something about that character that made me think that there was another actor that I felt should have been playing it, and I can picture the actor. I can't picture what role he's from or his name to be able to tell you. I felt it should have been this guy.
Well, and the director seemed to feel like they were giving us a big reveal on that character as they came in and we hadn't turned before finally
he bent down and we got to see him. And I'm like, and still, I don't know who this is.
Yeah, that so was a bit annoying.
The reveal was wasted on me.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think I had even commented that I don't like this director of photography. I'd like to see the guy.
Yeah.
Not the director of photography, but the guy on screen.
Yes.
We're getting the kneecaps or...
The boots.
The back of the shoulder.
Yeah.
It's like, surely he's got a face. So, I enjoyed the season. At some point, when this is all said and done, I think it might be worth going back and just marathoning the entire series. Because I think there's another layer of stuff to get out of it, knowing it, what we know at the end and rewatching the beginning. This is what's going to happen, so do they set all this up, do they not? And what do we discover that we have already forgotten?
I think the Harry in the vault would have meant more to me, if that makes sense, having more recently watched season one.
Yes.
Because the more recent Harry, if you will, was so fresh in my mind that the Harry from the vault was, oh yeah, that is season one Harry, isn't it?
Yeah, we had two competing versions of the character, and we were more recently with the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are certain things I think would play better in a tighter succession.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that would be worth doing. I also think going through the books would be worth doing.
I was also wondering, near the very end of the season, if Harry was having a reaction of, Gale, you've changed. I mean, admittedly, it's been 300 years, but you've changed. But because it feels like it's been 300 years since I watched season one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that goes back to Gale having a conversation with somebody else, and they were saying, I've been waiting all my life for this. I really expected her to turn around, and she had a variant on this, but what I would have gone with, I've been waiting all my life too, and I'm a lot older than I look.
Yes, yes.
So, that actress is doing a terrific job with the role.
She really is, and she does not have a lot of credits, but whoever cast her found the right person for the right role.
I think the casting group did a terrific job on the show. Again, you look at Beta, perfect casting, I think, for that.
Yeah.
You look at the regulars, just between Dusk, Dawn, and Day, having a similar enough vibe. That they can easily pass for different age versions of each other, yet they're still their own people.
Yes.
The one who plays Harry, I think, does a terrific job.
Yeah.
The first speaker this season.
Yeah.
And he didn't say much, but he did a terrific job.
Yeah, I really, and the reaction shots.
Yes.
Yeah, I really enjoyed him.
So they've done a good job picking the right people.
Torrin Mallow had this very... It's not fair to call it effeminate look, but this very, I look like I care more about my appearance than actually carrying a gun and being a cowboy, but don't underestimate me character. Yeah,
the pretty boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the actor pulled it off.
And there was something that happened about midway with him, and there's nothing, I think, specific, but he went from the pretty face influencer to there's some actual substance to this guy.
He stopped wearing the mask when he had the encounter with his uncle and got his uncle to take him seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
It was subtle, but he gained a degree of confidence in letting his real self show through.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's where we saw there was a lot more to Beta.
Yes.
As well. So, great acting, great casting. The writing team, I think, does a terrific job putting everything together.
Mm-hmm.
Having Asimov-level novels to start from.
Yes.
Is helps. A great asset. Yeah. But turning that into a viable TV series is no easy task. Now, some of the people behind it on the writing side, I believe, are David Goyer and Jane Espenson.
Yeah.
Goyer has done a number of other projects. I believe he was connected to some of the Superman stuff. I'm trying to remember if he wrote comics or not. Jane Espenson was part of the crew that did Buffy and Angel. Among other things, they've got plenty of other credits. One of the other executive producers and recurring directors is Roxanne Dawson from Voyager, doing a terrific job because I think they've got very solid directing.
Yeah.
And I think juggling the cast of characters, in some cases all the extras as well, all the effects, all of the stories going on. There's a lot to do on this show.
a lot happens in each episode.
Yes, but not in a way that I get exhausted by the episodes.
Mm.
There have been one or two shows we have watched where we would have time to watch, you know, 4, maybe 5 episodes in a night. But after about 2,
yep,
we got to flip to something else.
Yeah.
I just need a breather.
Yeah, that's true.
And not many are that way. And there are others where it's really easy to say, let's just watch one more and another and another and another because it's so compelling and keeps me going. And this is a good, meaty series where I don't feel that they've left on a cliffhanger or something like that, where I've just got to watch the next one. But it's also one that I do want to watch the next one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we've hit one or two shows where it's not that what we had watched was unfulfilling, but
but they left me feeling a scene or two short.
A scene or two short, or arm's reach of that next stopping point.
Yep.
It's like when I read novels. I've read some where I feel the chapter lengths are too long or too short. And for me, a chapter break is a point where I can conveniently put down the novel, have a bite to eat, go run an errand, you know, work, whatever, come back, get back in and go.
Yeah.
Some writers feel I've got to end on a cliffhanger gotcha moment of something, of teasing that next thing of what we're going to do, and then just leave you hanging. And it's like, that's not how I want the chapter to end.
Yeah.
And there's some where it's like, I've read some books where it's like 1,000 chapters because they're each about 2 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little too short. I've read some others where they're like 30, 40 pages. And one of the complaints I have about a Kindle is in many books, it will tell you, here's the list of chapters. It won't tell you rough page numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know, am I reading, is this one going to be a 3-page chapter, a 30-page chapter, or whatever?
Yep.
And I've read some books where they like alternate lengths.
I picked up a library book recently that was about 15 years old. Okay, fine. Read through the whole thing. It stopped short. It knew it stopped short. It gets to the final page. It has a QR code. Go here for the final chapter of the book. Only guess who is no longer paying for their website?
Oh, I was going to say, getting the QR code in and of itself would annoy me. Getting a 404 at the other end of it.
Oh, it's worse. Getting a virus message.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that was from a major publisher.
Feedback to the publisher on that, because that's outrageous. I get you may not be able to get the domain, the link, whatever, but you can fix the book. But having, and we've seen some shows where some episodes are meatier than others.
Mm-hmm.
This is one that every episode is around 45-ish minutes,
mm-hmm.
sometimes a little longer, a little shorter, whatever. But there's a appropriate density to the material.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much that you're slogging through it or overwhelmed by it, but not one where you're thinking, how long does it take to walk down that hallway?
Yeah. A good mix of the characters in terms of how much time we spend with dawn versus day versus dusk.
It never felt like we just hadn't seen one character for too long.
Mm-hmm. One character we haven't mentioned that I enjoyed more than I thought I would actually was Ambassador Quint.
Yes. She seemed like a familiar face. I don't know if we've seen her in something or not, but she was a lot of fun and looks like could be a major player next season.
Agreed.
And she was a substantial player this season.
Yeah.
I loved her line of don't back that person into a corner. It will not go well.
Mm-hmm.
She was very correct on that.
Oh, wasn't she?
Again, we jumped 150 years to get to this time frame. I was going to say, I don't think we'd seen her before in the show. It's like, well, she's not that old.
Well, but we could have seen an ancestor.
Yeah. But that's part of why I'm expecting and anticipating and wanting no time jump to the next season.
Agreed.
Because when you do that, you pretty much get a whole new cast of supporting characters. And the fact they've been able to maintain such a large group of actors and characters from season to season,
mm-hmm.
while still spanning at least 300 years, yeah. if not 500 or something by now. Staggering. So I'm enjoying it. Like I said, I think we need to go through the novels at some point.
Yeah.
The question is, do we let this finish, then go through the novels, and then go back through the show?
That would be my temptation, because I think once we get started on the novels, I won't want to put the series down.
Yes. And I think we would need to do it in a time frame where being conservative with how long we think it would take to read that many pages. We've got the time to be doing it in a rapid-ish succession.
Yeah.
Because my brain can only fit so much story at once.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of why I prefer to marathon these shows versus when network TV would be coming out on a weekly basis and we'd be watching it that way.
No, I like the immersive experience.
Yeah. But as much as I like it for the season, it really kind of kills me for the series.
Mm.
Because now it may be another year before we get to the next season.
Yeah.
But they're doing a great job with this. I'm curious what the people behind the show want to do after completing this series.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they wanted to go through like the iRobot stuff, which I think was more short stories than a series of novels and whatnot, that could still be a ton of fun.
Yeah.
So, anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
Thanks for listening to this episode. If you liked this episode, please spread the word about the Comic Book Page podcast by telling your friends and posting a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And please, join our Slack community and let us know what you thought of this episode. I do this podcast because I enjoy talking about comics. So let's talk about comics. The show notes, forum, and instructions for how to join our Slack channel can be found at www.comicbookpage.com. The opinions of the co-hosts and guests are their own. The Comic Book Page podcast is copyright John Mayall. And thanks again for listening.